Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life?
Hi, welcome to Boys Do Cry Mental Health Conversations, where we have honest conversations about mental health.
Each week we talk about how we're feeling, how we're truly feeling, and try and make sense of what goes on in our minds.
No, we are not mental health professionals, and if you are struggling, please reach out for help.
The stories you hear should not be a substitute for professional help. They're here to supplement your journey.
My name is Ram Reyes.
And I'm Paulina Rodriguez-Ruiz. Thanks for joining us.
Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the nose. Inhale deeply. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale for a sigh.
Actually, that should just be our start. I was already recording.
So. Oh, you were?
Yeah, so I was like, okay, that's the beginning of the episode. Hi, welcome to another episode of Boys Do Cry. Yep. Welcome. My name is Rem Reyes, as the intro said.
And I'm Paulina Rodriguez.
And we have a guest today.
Hi, I'm Janelle Claibon. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you for being on.
Yeah.
And you just walked us through an exercise, a yoga exercise. Is that a yoga exercise or is this a breathing exercise?
A breathing exercise, mm-hmm. Yeah. I usually open class with that type of breathing exercise or end the class with it. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to clean house, cleanse the body, cleanse the mind, reset everything.
Do you want to say a little bit of what you do? Who are you? Who is Janelle? Who is she?
Well, again, my name is Janelle. I am many things, but for sure, I am a yoga teacher. I am originally from Merced County, and I moved here to Fresno County when I attended Fresno State, and that was like some years ago. So anyways, I stuck around, and during my college career is when I discovered yoga. Mm. So, yeah.
Where did you discover it?
So yoga started first at a school that, or not a school, but a studio that I used to attend in the beginning, which was Blue Moon Yoga.
Oh, okay.
And Blue Moon Yoga allowed me to just really like discover and like dive in deep into my practice. But how I even came across that was because I was taking Pilates classes at Fresno State, and they only offer like beginner and intermediate classes, and I had already kind of advanced those skills that I have, you know, gained. So I'm like, I need something a little bit more deeper. I want to get more into like just like mat work. But so I was going back and forth with the Pilates and the yoga, and I took a class. I asked a student or a friend who was taking a yoga class, like, if I could come during one of her classes, and she's like, yeah, so I tagged her along, but I didn't really like it because all the instructor did was, like, stick a CD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in a DVD player, and she just sat at the corner, you know, in butterfly pose.
I mean, that's the kind of job I want.
Yeah, it was really easy, but I'm like, I could do this at home, like in my, you know, during my free time, just like rent or buy a DVD.
And yeah,
like,
and then you just follow along.
Yeah, just follow along. I'm like, this is not engaging. It's not entertaining or whatever. Yeah. So anyways, with that said, I started searching for different studios, and Blue Moon came up, and they had the cheapest rates for college students. So I'm like, I'm going there. So it was based off of money.
Cause, okay.
Yeah, yoga, if I don't know if you guys are aware, but it tends to be more accessible for people who have money to pay for it.
Yeah.
So it's a, for the most part. And so it's a luxury. It's definitely.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because it started in India, where it's kind of like a spiritual practice that everybody kind of did. And then now it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, is it gentrified already? Yoga's been gentrified.
No, well, here in America, yoga is definitely watered down.
Yeah, definitely.
From its traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sense, for sure. So it's watered down, and it's become more, here in Western society, yoga is more approached as like a physical exercise.
Yeah.
Physical exercise versus like a spiritual practice. Lifestyle or practice. Yeah. So that's how I approached it when I first started. I'm like, oh, I want to get abs. I want to be strong. Yeah, that's really like my mindset. Like when I went in, I just wanted to be super strong. I wanted to be flexible. I wanted to be able to hit the splits. That was my goal, which was great, you know, because those are great things too. But
you're like, I can hit the splits now. Yeah.
I can't hit the splits. No. Still. And I've been practicing for 7 years. So I'm working towards it. Like I'm closer. Yeah. But it's definitely, yoga is a discipline for sure. Yeah. And you have to practice it.
I heard it's really hard. Like, is it like, also there's like hot yoga? I don't even know what the difference is.
Yeah. So hot yoga. So the studio that I was talking about in the beginning that I attended first, it was in the beginning, and it still is actually for the most part, just heated yoga. So the type of yoga that I started diving into in the beginning was Bikram yoga, which, have you heard of Bikram yoga?
No.
Yeah, what okay. is that?
It's a very structured class. So it consists of 26 postures and 2 breathing exercises.
Yeah.
And we repeat the same pose 2 times throughout class. And the class is heated to 105 degrees. Yeah, it's pretty intense. So can you imagine practicing a class like this during the summer here in Fresno? It gets pretty crazy. So yeah.
One of my because I'm taking a comparative religion class at Fresno State, and my professor is Indian, and she was talking about like hot yoga, and she was like, you guys are crazy. I went away from India to escape the heat. I'm not going back to it.
No, dude. Yeah,
I was just like, I'm not going back to that.
Well, the person who created, or because the thing is, every form of yoga that does exist comes from the same basic poses that we do, but people have made it into whatever they want it to be. And there's people like Bikram who created a business out of it. So he,
capitalism.
Like he was running all these trainings for like years, and he had a huge following, but because of these, he's been taken to court many times because of sexual harassment and just like,
yikes.
Yeah. So anyways, that's a different story. But people have turned yoga into whatever they want it to be, especially here in America. I think people have taken advantage and been able to make a profit out of it. So,
Well, what are the like benefits of like yoga, you know? Like what's the good things?
Before we go into that.
Yeah, before we go into that. Yeah, how are we feeling today? We always ask this question.
Okay. In the beginning. Yeah. And you're not allowed to say like, oh, I'm good. I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to like
dig deeper. How are you truly feeling?
I am feeling good. I'm really excited about being here. I feel very appreciative for sure. But I'm a little nervous too, you know, because I'm like speaking into this huge mic.
Yeah.
So like I'm getting better into it, you know, like getting to the groove of the thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It usually gets better as like the podcast goes on.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Because like you kind of just forget that there's mics in front of you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I mean, we really are just talking about each other. We're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Like we're just talking about the things we love. Like you, I feel like you love yoga. So I want to like know why you love it, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's interesting. And I have questions about yoga.
Yeah.
And this is like a way to get my...
It's just us. We're just recording the conversation.
Yeah.
We could have had this conversation, not recorded it. But now there's an invisible listener.
Yeah.
There's a fourth person right here, which is the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we're glad you're here too.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming here.
I know. And we've just met each other right now.
Yeah. Yes, which is a very common occurrence on this podcast.
Beautiful.
A lot of people... We don't really think about it. I'm like, we think you're interesting. We think you have something to say. Come on our podcast. And then you guys decided to come on, and we were just like, we're just going to meet them the first time.
Well, it feels really special to be invited, you know, really? Especially when I walked into the door or through the door and I saw your guys' like layout. I'm like, whoa, this is very sacred.
Oh, yeah. We usually have more plants, but
this is beautiful.
It's because
there's no plants in my garden right now.
Yeah.
Because of winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Paulina, we haven't done this in a while because she's in Long Beach and I'm still here. But it's really nice that we're here right now because this is like the OG season 1, season 2 setup.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. But definitely when we started this, like I wanted it to be like a space where we can just like heal. Like obviously we're recording it, but it's more of like creating space for people, like creating space for you if you like for you to say what you want to say, and for people that like listen to it. for them to get that same healing, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like creating a safe space. And I think like bringing flowers, I learned this from Adriana actually.
Yeah.
Like I met That's her. What I thought of. Yeah, I met her. Like I already was doing like a little bit, but when I met her, I'm like, I'm gonna take it to like another notch. Cause I don't know, like the environments that she created, I'm like, I wanna like do the same. Like it makes me feel like safe or like, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but
no, yeah.
Yeah. So she's somewhere in here too.
No, she is. Yeah. And this is very sacred and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. How are you feeling, Ram?
I'm good. I was kind of tired. I'm kind of tired because I just didn't sleep last night, but I'm good.
Couldn't sleep?
No, I was just talking to somebody for a long time and yeah, I haven't talked to somebody that long in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, cool. But now I'm like tired. I had to sacrifice sleep, but it was worth it. But yeah, and I had some Chicken Shack today.
Oh my God.
And I'm pretty happy. I'm like, today's good.
Have to try it out.
It's okay, chicken.
It's okay.
I still want to try it though.
Yeah, try it and be the judge. Don't listen to
It's just okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I got to get the wings. The wings are so good. They're like
crispy. These are just crispy deep fried.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that crispy. Like the chicken he got.
I don't know,
man.
Okay. Whatever.
It was just a regular, they're not even like, what is it, chicken strips? They're just chicken strips.
Okay, we didn't get the wings because I wanted to eat it fast because we were like hungry before this podcast. And I was like, I want to eat. I was going to get pho, but I'm like, I'm too hungry. They have to write a paper later on Gandhi. So, yeah. So I'm going to have to worry about that later. I'll worry about that later. But yeah, how are you, Paulina?
How am I?
Yeah, how are you?
I mean, I'm feeling really grateful today. I think it was overall like. Yeah, I'm like super glad I met you and that you're here. I always think of like my perspective of like life now, because since like life dragged me to Fresno, I'm like, you know what? Half the people I met, I really shouldn't have even met them if like none of like the negative, I guess, things happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I wonder why I'm even like some people are around my life. And I'm always like, someone's going to teach me something and there's something that I need to like hear from people. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so I think I'm grateful. And then we had a meeting before this about like a project we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. And then, yeah. And I finally, like, before all this, I cried finally.
Mm. When did you cry? Like, right here?
No.
Recently?
Like, yeah, I cried today.
Oh, nice.
Finally, this morning?
Yeah, in the morning. And I've been stressed out for like 2 weeks. Oh. And like when I go to therapy, like it helps. But a lot of times, like I can't cry. Like, and I think my body like finally relaxed to the point where I could like process some of the things that I was going through. Mm-hmm. So I'm like grateful for that.
Good.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I cried. I mean, it doesn't feel good in the moment, but I'm like, no, this is good. I'm finally doing it, guys.
Sometimes you just have to allow yourself to be sad and
But I think like, I don't know. I'm weird in the fact that like I want to feel emotions and I want to cry, but I think because so long I didn't, I didn't ever learn how to like safely like allow myself to feel that.
Oh girl, I cry all the time.
Yeah,
no, I cry in the shower. I'm really? Like, I come on, like, oh, it was just a soap. It was just a soap. That's it. So
that you're blessed.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I cry during meditation all the time.
I know. You guys everybody always talks about how they cry. I'm like, you know how hard it is to cry. Sometimes I gotta watch a really sad movie. Like, I think my last resort is like watching Coco again. You know? Yeah.
But. Yeah, during meditation is that's one of the weirdest ones because like. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm, you know what? I'm just going to let this cry. It's just like, because it's so peaceful in my body. I'm like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
And I've been trying to learn how to sit with feelings a lot more.
I love
like,
that.
Not just sitting. Well, like, not engaging with the feelings, just like letting it be.
Mm-hmm. Acknowledging them.
Yeah, acknowledging them, like letting them tire out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, all right. So I don't want to like engage. Because I like recently I've been catching myself engaging with like, thoughts that I don't really need to be engaging or like making me more anxious and just for particularly like when somebody doesn't text me back, which is like I've had problems with this for a while, but now I'm like, okay, it doesn't really mean anything if they don't answer.
Yeah,
it's just you making this up, and if they don't answer, then whatever.
Yeah.
And then so meditation has been helping with that, where it's just like, all right, I am okay. Don't need their text. They don't need a text back.
Yeah.
I don't need the text back, so.
No, yeah. I hear it too. I also cry sometimes during meditation or even like when I'm flowing in my yoga poses.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait, find myself. Tell me why the first time I went to yoga, I actually cried. That's why I'm like interested in it because the first time I ever went, I like cried in my car after. And oh, I was girl. Like, what's going
you
on?
You released some stuff.
But I was like, yoga is weird.
It's beautiful though, because it allows you to be vulnerable mm-hmm. and acknowledge those parts of your life that, you know, need some work, some tune up. Mm-hmm. But also allows you to have that space to acknowledge those strengths.
How does it do that? Because, well, how does it do for that? Me who hasn't done it, maybe I should do it. And probably to a lot of listeners, it's just like, well, people are just posing. How is that like helping? Mm-hmm. But like, what actually happens? Like, wait, what is the process of yoga? Do people just pose and then something happens? Where's the magic?
It's not, you know, I can't really like pinpoint and tell you like this is how it's supposed to be, because everybody experiences it differently. Okay. And obviously when I started the my yoga practice, like I said, it was very much more like an exercise. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really dive in like into the emotional part mm-hmm. or like the spiritual aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And that just came with time, just continuing to practice and becoming more aware of my body, but also aware of my mind, like my feelings, my thoughts, things like this, versus before I was just like, you know, stare myself in the mirror. I'm like, okay, those abs are coming, you know? It was just, yeah, that's really was my focal point. But with time, I was able to just evolve and be able to recognize. Because I noticed in the beginning, just with other students too, who come through the studio, and now that I'm a teacher, I get to see this from a different perspective, right? A lot of people don't have self-awareness of their body. It's just, you know, I'll tell them, I'll cue something, and they're unable to make that connection with their mind, or they're just not fully present, which is also something that you practice in yoga, like being mindful and being present in the room with your body, your mind, and with your breath especially. So yoga allows you to facilitate the movement with breath. Mm-hmm. And with breath, I believe that presence comes.
Yeah, breathing is so important. Yeah. Like, it's other than you need to live. Yeah. But, like, consciously breathing, like, being mindful of your breath, it's, like, the most helpful thing I've ever learned. It's, like, following your breath when I'm, like, feeling kind of weird or just anxious. I'm just like, okay, so you follow this. And then I think I've, like, the better I got into it, like, the more I've applied that, especially when I'm, like, just lifting, because I, like, lift weights. Just to flex. Just yeah. No, but like once it got heavier, and I was just like, I had to be more mindful of my breath to like really control it and to like push through. But yeah, I just think like I feel like meditation and yoga kind of just like you said facilitate that mindfulness of your breath and like your body, and
for
you
sure
get more aware of your body.
Were you always like in tune with your body? Like
I think with Pilates I definitely was allowed to practice that of becoming aware of like how my body moves and all that. But it wasn't until I actually took yoga where I started incorporating like the breathing into it, and how the breathing can allow your mind to open, but also allow your body to open so that it's flexible.
Paulina has a phone.
So it took practice. Yeah. Just like with anything else.
Do you meditate?
I do meditate. So the thing with yoga here in America, Western society in general, when people think of yoga or say yoga, we're just thinking about the poses. But but yoga is a lifestyle. It is a discipline for sure. And within this discipline, there are eight limbs. And out of these eight limbs, breathing exercises is included. Also the asanas, so that's Sanskrit for these poses, and meditation. So when we are moving our body through these physical poses, we're doing it so that we can tire out our physical. So then when we come into our final pose, which is Shavasana, dead body's corpse, we allow ourselves to just lay there and just be still so that we can focus on our breath and just meditate.
That's actually when, like, I would cry the first time. No, because all the poses. And then I would, like, when I was going through them, I realized, like, I don't have that connection with my body. Like, I'm still, like, developing it. And at the end, like, I was just laying there. And then the instructor, she would come by, and she would just, like, touch your forehead. I don't know if she was doing it. She was on another level. But she did that. And when she did that, like, I was already, like, laying there, right? Like, I was, like, vulnerable or open. And then as soon as she touched me, like, I just felt, like, all this emotion, like, come up. And I was, like, started crying. And then I like kind of control a little bit, because I'm like, I'm in a public space. And then I got to my car and I just started like sobbing, and it was like when she touched me, like I had like just a memory came up and a feeling, And it just all came out, and it finally was allowed to come through. Mm-hmm. But I was like, yoga's another level when I went through that. And now every time I go, like, when I do some of the movements, I feel like memories will come to me. And I'm like, is this, like, things are stored in my body? Is this what this is? Is this what this is? Like, I'm moving through them as I, like, move my body, mm-hmm. like, consciously.
It definitely lets you process things that are happening in your life. Yoga can be, when you're on your mat, it's kind of like a metaphor of what's going on in your life mm-hmm. during that moment, you know? Mm-hmm. Or maybe some past trauma that you've stored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's days where I'll go into a class and I just can't do it. I just can't. Yeah. I can't. I mean, I'm moving through it, but it's mm-hmm. just really hard. It just feels like really sticky and very tight in different areas of my body. Mm-hmm. And I just have to focus on my breath. I'm like, okay, just breathe, just breathe. Mm-hmm. And if that's all I can do for that class, then I feel fine. Mm-hmm. But then when I leave, I take a moment to actually, you know, reflect. I'm like, where is that coming from? Like, why am I feeling like this? And then mm-hmm. I'm able to usually make a connection. I'm like, well, this is really heavy right now in this part of my life. And maybe this is why it's like showing up on the mat when I'm in class. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to process a lot of things for sure.
Yeah. One of the things that like I'm learning, or it's because like I have like the Headspace app, like a meditation app. Mm.
Or they always, I heard always, that's fantastic.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm on like 11 or 12 days streak. Wow. I'm trying to.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. The longest I've done is like 30, but now I'm like, I'm trying to get like 60 or
three.
They have an achievement for like a whole year. I'm like,
you can do it.
I'm trying to.
That's good. They like reward you.
Yeah, they reward me.
With what, like some type of incentive?
No, it's just like a little badge. At the end of it, it's always like run streak, like it increases. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I can't mess this up now.
Yeah.
But the British narrator would always say like, where in what part of your body is that like trauma coming from or something, or like where does it feel like weird? And it's like really weird. Like I didn't really think about that before. I'm like, oh, when I'm feeling anxious, where is that in my body manifesting itself?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like just like acknowledging where it's coming from, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, that helps. It's like you have to listen to your body, which is something I was like, what does that mean, listen to your body? But I'm like, oh, okay, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
So listen to body to your body, y'all.
No. It's important for sure. And I noticed for me, when I started, like I said, I had different intentions, but as I evolved with my practice, I started noticing how it was affecting or benefiting me mentally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like my mental health was, I felt like it was so much better. So the thing is though, people approach yoga thinking like, this is going to heal me and I'm going to be better and I'm going to mm-hmm. be 100. I'm like, no, yoga is a great way to start. Mm-hmm. And if anything, it's a tool that you should definitely incorporate to put into your toolbox of self-care, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the highest form of love is self-care. Mm-hmm. At least self-love for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I learned that over time that I need yoga. Because there's been 2 points in my life where I've taken a break from yoga and it was a big no-no. It was a big mess. The first time was because I was doing Bikram only and that just got really boring for me because it was same 26 poses, 2 times, you know, for each class. It was a 90-minute class and it was just like, just taxing physically but also mentally and the heat and all that. So I'm like, I need a break. So I took a break and then my body's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know? And so that was the first time. And then the second time was actually when I was studying for my NCLEX to become a licensed nurse. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was getting in my way. I'm like, I can't do yoga. Like, this is getting in my way of studies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No. If anything, it was keeping me sane. Yeah, and I didn't realize that until I dropped it. And you know, I continued the cycle of just studying hard and something was just not working out. And I'm like, what is it that's missing? And I couldn't figure it out until I am like, let me go to yoga. It's been a minute. I'm like, oh, dude, like I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
To my body and my mind and my spirit. Like, no.
Yeah. I'm learning that like routines are so important or just like it just keeps you so much more leveled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I told my friend who I go to the gym with. Oh, yeah. I told Marco, he's been a guest on the pod and we like go to the gym at State and I'm like, I really love working or like taking the time, like 1 hour, this is the only thing I need to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about anything. I just go to the gym, do my workout, and that's all I need to do at that time. And it's so like, it's like nice because now I don't have to worry about anything. I just have to worry about getting through this workout. Mm-hmm. And I think, and also meditation, I'm like, I have to meditate right after my shower and that's what I do. Mm-hmm. So, and it just keeps me sane. It's just like, oh, nice. Like, it's like a break. I'm like, I don't have to think about anything right now. Mm-hmm. I just have to do this. And it, like, it really helps. It always, like, oh, that does actually help. Even, like, before you would start it, I'm like, why would that even help me? And then it does, guys. It just
It really does.
It does. It's it like, allows, oh, it works.
Those routines definitely let you just let go and just be present in that moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think also, like, a part of mental health is the body. I think that's the part that, I'd never, like, prioritized before, I think. Or I just didn't think that it really affected, like, your mind or your spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what I'm realizing now. Like, when I go, I need to make it more of a regular thing, but because I know, like, this is important. And for me, like, the thing that I'm, like, aware of now is that, like, because I dealt with, like, sexual abuse, like, at a young age, mm-hmm. like, that made me, like, disconnected from my body. And when I go to yoga, it's, like, reconnecting with that mm-hmm. or meditation or something. But it's, like, a process. But just that idea of, like, feeling my body again and, like, being, like, oh, this is mine. I think that's a big part of yoga. Because there's a class in my school that's trauma sensitive. Mm-hmm. So I think that connection is what I'm learning, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, owning your body again and, like, mm-hmm. coming home to it. But every time I do yoga, I want to cry. And I'm like, I think that's why. Because yeah. my body hasn't felt like mine mm-hmm. or didn't for, yeah.
That's a beautiful realization. It is.
Yeah, I think that's why I cry.
To make that connection. Because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. even when I get massages, like when I go to school, like I do it for, because I'm stressed, guys. I really am real stressed.
You don't look like it though.
Now I don't. But when the first time I went, like my body felt tense. I'm like, oh, it's because I feel like somebody's going to hurt me. Mm. And that's like a process of unlearning that. Yeah. That's why I want to talk to you too. Like, I'm like, yoga has helped me in that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like it helped you, like, did you ever feel like you were away from your body and, like, came back?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. If anything, it was more for me of becoming more connected with my breath. Because mm-hmm. there's times still, you know, to this, because I'm not perfect. I'm a human being, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah. There's moments in my life where I'm experiencing, you know, high levels of stress, mm-hmm. anxiety, and all these emotions that we tend to list as negative, like anger and all this, where I forget about my breath mm-hmm. and I'm just so caught up in that moment or with that emotion. And a lot of the times I'm doing like shallow chest breathing, mm-hmm. you know, just yeah. coming from the chest and like hyperventilating, and I'm like, or I'm holding my breath, you know, mm-hmm. and oh, that's
yeah.
not good.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not good at all.
Actually, one of the things I realized when I was like a middle schooler, was it high school? Whatever, it's been a long time. And because I would be really insecure about my body.
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, because I was like kind of, I was chubby when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I used to remember I would hold in my breath to like make my
to
stomach.
Suck. Yeah.
Yeah, suck it up. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I did that so long that I forgot I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I was like, wait, maybe that's why I've been so anxious for like a long time, because I keep like sucking in my yeah. my tummy, and I'm mm-hmm. like, and then I was like, wait, I can just
let go.
Breathe out. And I'm like, oh, okay, out. I don't need to suck it in anymore, yeah. Which is really weird, because oh, you guys have to like, that's a value in like being mindful of like the default modes of your body. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just. They're weird.
Well, yeah, and it's a way for our body to protect itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. You're just protecting yourself at that moment. That's yeah. what your body knew.
Yeah.
And this is why it's important to like learn healthier skills mm-hmm. to cope with that stress.
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. yeah. And breathing is for sure one of them.
Just but breathing. No, conscious
yeah.
breathing.
Yeah.
Conscious breathing.
No, because I do that too, where like I'll hyperventilate or I'll mm-hmm. feel like really constricted. And like the last thing I want to do is like breathe through it. You know, like I'll be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Because I'm trying to distract myself from it instead of like being still, mm-hmm. like truly still.
Yeah.
I think the breathing is just like you're just breathing through emotion and like letting it pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also yoga, right? You're letting it flow.
Yeah.
Like you're just breathing through whatever yeah. you're going through.
For sure.
Yeah.
I know I'll take time. Like if I know I'm going to present in front of a group of people
mm-hmm.
or even like before, you know, we started this, I'm like, can I use the restroom? I went in there and I and did some breathing. Like, let me just breathe. So,
yeah.
And I'll go into the car too if I'm feeling a certain way or if I'm having like a conversation that's becoming a little bit too intense. I'm like, I need to just mm-hmm. leave right now
yeah.
and breathe. And I'll do yeah. that. So,
I mean, that's why they say when you're like having like a panic attack, just breathe.
Yeah. You do, because then like if you don't, you make it worse.
Yeah. You're just like,
your breath.
Yeah.
Like, you keep like me. Yeah.
It's weird because like your breath is like the only automatic thing that you can actually control.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
most of the times you don't need to control it. And but then like, you can't control if you want to.
Yeah. You can.
There's like biology weird. Behind it too. Like you're losing oxygen in your brain or something like that. And then the more blood that's pumping. I remember. Mm. I remember I took a health class. And that's what like is happening when you have an anxiety attack. And then when you feel like throwing up, it's because those muscles are like.
Are not receiving. Or those organs are not receiving oxygen.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to like look that up more. But
that's very true. It is. Yeah. And going back to what you said, because you had said that. That we forget about our body being connected to our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a perfect example.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah. How our body is truly connected to our mind. And even like what we, you know, put inside our body, right? Mm-hmm. What we eat, what we drink, you know, what we listen to, like allow our ears to hear, like all these things, what we see, all affects. It's all connected. So if one thing, you know, if you're depressed, the normal, there's, I shouldn't say normal, but the common symptoms, you know, there, there's loss of appetite, headaches, you can have a lack of sleep
or sleeping too much.
Which, but this is all affecting your physical body too, not just like mentally. So,
Yeah.
And I know you said like you get anxiety. Like I would like younger me would be like a yoga instructor does not go through it. Like they're they're like perfect, you know, like they figure it out. No.
I'm a human being too, and you know, I have moments where I get really excited, and that will turn into anxiety if I don't, you know, deal with it at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm a human being too.
Yeah,
that's interesting. When you be excited and then it turns into anxiety. Well, like getting too excited. What? Like I never thought about that. But it's like, wait, that is true.
Yeah.
Like we're like, I'm too excited, and then I get anxious afterwards.
I can get anxious.
From excitement.
Yeah.
I think I'm like going through that now because I think I didn't like I'm learning to feel the full range of emotions, and now that I've allowed myself, when I get really happy and excited, I'm like, what is this? I don't trust this, and I feel like there's something wrong, but it's because I haven't like felt like joy to its full extent. Like I don't know how to like just let it be and like trust myself with that, which is weird. Yeah.
Mm. So how did you get into teaching yoga again? So
I've been practicing yoga for 7 years now.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been some time. And I at the studio that I originally used to work at, Blue Moon, there's a group of great teachers there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the teachers, Allie, who's a really good friend of mine, she had just completed her second teacher training in India. And she came back, and you know, she's an amazing teacher, and like during class, she would share her stories about her experience in India, and you know, I just got really excited about it. And so one day, like we were talking after class, and she's like, "You should go. You should, you know, you seem really interested. You have all these questions, and you should have you like considered going to India."
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
So did you go?
I did.
Wow,
that's awesome.
So that was a
conversation.
Should
have led with that. I was like, should have led with that. I'm like, wait, how was your trip in India?
It was great. It was great. So, but that was a conversation I had, right? Mm-hmm. But then I kind of let it go. And it wasn't until another friend of mine, she reached out to me because she knows like I do yoga and that I love it. So she told me like, I want to go to yoga training. Like I want to do a yoga training and I want to go to India. You want to go? I'm like, I was just literally having this conversation some time ago with this friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she ended up not going, and I'm like, I'm still going to go.
Okay.
And I went, and this was 2017. I went in July 2017 for a whole month.
Oh, and wow. A whole month. That's dope.
Yeah. I went to, I attended the school, I can't pronounce it, Trimuti Yoga School, and it's in Dharmakot in the Himalayan mountains.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, what did you learn there?
Well,
what ancient Sanskrit
well, teachings did you? I took a training to become certified in Vinyasa flow, but also in Hatha yoga.
What is that?
So Hatha yoga is, people will, the best way to describe it, it's more of a traditional approach of yoga. It's just these traditional poses that we do in every other forms of yoga classes like vinyasa and your fusion and stuff like this. So poses such as like tree pose or bound angle, like these, but in Hatha, you just, there's not necessarily like a flow. You're holding the postures. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's like the best way I can describe it. Whoa. Simply. But yeah, it was amazing. I chose this school specifically because when I went online, they had a great website, first of all. I'm like, okay. And then they had high ratings. So I'm like, okay. I just wanted something that was legit. Because I'm like, I don't know anybody over there. So, and then I have two homegirls who are Indian, and they looked over the website, you know, and like what they were offering as far as the training and stuff. It's like, they're like, yeah, you need to go. And both of them are yoga teachers too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So they're like, you need to go to the school. It's going to be perfect for you because it's in the mountains, so it's going to be peaceful.
Whoa.
Because India, especially like places like Delhi, have a reputation of being very chaotic, and it is, because I went and I was like, whoa, it was just really intense, very overstimulating. Ooh. For me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad I chose this school because it was like tucked away in this like beautiful small community.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
great. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
What did you learn about yourself,
like, yeah,
that as an American, I hold prejudice viewpoints. I'm like, wow, I know.
Wait,
this
what
is
do
like,
you mean?
Well, because I realize how privileged I am.
Oh yeah,
you
that,
know
that does that when you go to a third world.
Yeah.
Well, is India third world?
I think it's considered.
Is it?
It's considered.
Yeah, but like I saw pictures of like of just India, and I was like, that looks like the Philippines. So I know what it feels like. So
yeah, so. And it's interesting. It made me feel uncomfortable just because I'm like, I'm a black Mexican woman, you know, and like I have no, it really woke me up.
Mm-hmm.
It made me realize that I hold some beliefs as an American going into this country. And so I needed that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my friends warned me, even my Indian friends who go visit on the regular basis and like just to prepare me, but there's no preparing. Like you just have to experience it yourself. So
It's kind of, well, I'm just taking like the comparative religion class, and we're just going over Hinduism, and really I got really into like the Hindu belief. Like I actually got like the audiobook of this, like the Bhagavad Gita, like the sacred book, like one of the Upanishads. And I'm like, I really want to go to India. I just really want to learn, like, their ancient knowledge. Just, I just want to be immersed in their culture.
Which is very rich. And I only learned like a fraction of it. Yeah. So there's so much more. And
it's just like, it's wild there.
Yeah, the stories that they share, like the teachers, Vamsiji, he always opened each class with a meditation. And then he would lead into a story. And and it's just like, whoa. It's just very deep. It's very rich. And there's so much to learn. And it's connected, too, with, like, yoga. Like, I think you had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy that this is, like, this is happening. Because I was like, oh, wait. I was like, I want to go to India. And
what
then
part
you
of
went
India?
To India. I don't know.
You
anywhere.
Should become a yoga
no,
instructor.
Actually, no, actually. No, I want.
There's thousands of schools there.
No, I want to swim in the Ganges.
Don't even try it. Just go get certified.
I want to swim in the Ganges, like the holy river that they have.
Yeah.
I just want to swim in there. So I could be like, yeah, I swam in the Ganges. Yeah. Like, they're a holy river. Because a lot of, like, in their beliefs, like, it's a holy river. And you, like, you got to swim in there.
The only thing I know from India is Oprah talked about it when she went.
And she say about it?
She said that the prayer is different. Like, everybody just prays. Like, it's a different level of, like,
oh, yeah, no. Devotion. Like, religion is, like, everywhere there. Like, there's, like, 330 million Hindu gods that you could pray to. And just, what was it called? Yeah, everyone's just religious, like, just like a common thing,
like faith.
Yeah
But the Hinduism is not the only religion.
Yeah, there's also other ones there, like there's Muslims
but the
majority of it is just like all the Hindu gods. And I just really love like the Hindu philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very interesting. It's because maybe I'm just bored of Catholicism.
Is that Catholicism. What you were raised?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. Are you very religious?
No.
No?
I wouldn't say.
Okay.
No.
Are you spiritual?
Yeah, I would say I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go, like, to see, compare to Mexico, like, how the faith is. Because when I went to Mexico this last time, like, we were going to go to church, and we didn't end up making it with my grandma. But when we were coming out, they had brought out the Virgen, and they were just bringing her around the like square, and mm-hmm. everybody was just praying, like they were just following the Virgin and like praying. Mm-hmm. And then we just like gathered in front of like the main center, and then we all just prayed. And then he would like ask for people, like for people out in the country, and everybody would just pray for them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? That doesn't happen here. Mm-mm. This is weird. Like, and I'm starting to understand like why I am the way I am. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's because I like grew up this way. Like, this is what I learned here. Mm-hmm. Which is, that's why I think I would be interested to see India. Because yeah. I think the devotion and the faith is probably the same. Mm-hmm. Of like just being so open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And Hinduism is just more chill.
Catholicism.
Yeah, they just let a lot of things. Well, not a lot of things slide, but there's not a lot of like rules. Mm-hmm. There's not really like a lot of rules. There's no like 10 commandments or anything. They're just like, yeah, mm-hmm. just don't be an asshole to other people. Yeah, we've talked about this in previous podcasts. Mm.
You're really into it.
I just because it just makes sense with like everything I've been realizing. Mm-hmm. It's like we're all the same self. For, like, because that's my viewpoint now. It's just like we're like this one entire soul, collective soul, that like we're all just like different manifestations of each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we're the same person, but we're engaged in a playful play. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a play. Yeah. It's the only religion that's like playful. Mm-hmm. Where like if you're a god, you would not create heaven. You'll get bored. Mm-hmm. So you decided to be like, you know what, I'm gonna split myself into a million people. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna like play hide and seek with myself. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be funny or sad. That's why sometimes life is so funny. Because it's like, if it wasn't funny, or if it wasn't like, if there wasn't any plot twist in your life, it would be boring.
Yeah, so life's a trip, for sure.
It is. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's just a play. It's like a movie. That
yeah, those plot playing. Twists definitely make it interesting.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Make it interesting. So mm-hmm. you're just kind of like watching a life unfold in front of you. Mm-hmm.
And that's a healthy perspective.
Yeah.
And to view life.
Yeah, and you would always be sure that like, it'll be okay at the end. Mm-hmm. But I'm still learning this. It'll probably change later. Because I listened to the holy text and I was just, oh, I have to write an essay after this too. Mm-hmm. So it's good that I know this. Where it's just, how do you conduct yourself with other people if you know that they are you? You know? Mm-hmm. Like if you are the same that person, the same. Then how do you conduct? Because like Gandhi had the whole thing where it's like, how do I practice nonviolence against an oppressor? Mm. You know, like how do I do that? And same with MLK, he kind of got inspired by Gandhi, where it's like, if I know that they're also me, that if I do violent things to that person that's being oppressed to me, then it's not gonna stop. Yeah. The cycle continues. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very, very interesting, and I try to apply that to my life, where it's mm-hmm. like, how am I gonna treat other people? And how am I gonna treat myself? And it's hard sometimes because you forget that they're. Sometimes you think there are other people, like, oh, they're not. They're different from me.
So are you, am I just me? You're telling me what I need to know right now.
Yeah. No, I keep telling
you. So are you me and this is like me talking to me?
Yeah, this is just me talking to me, and it's just like. It's a play. It's just a funny game. But that's what I think. I don't know. But yeah, that's what Hinduism has taught me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, that's chill. That's chill.
I wish more people had that mindset, though, because there's people out there, I'm like, how can you treat another person like that?
Yeah, it's hard. But, you know, we're all humans, and we kind of fuck up sometimes.
Yeah.
And
we're each playing a part.
Yeah, playing a part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we get to the part where it's, like, good for a while before drama happens. And then, like, oh, okay. But also in that belief, they say that chaos is a part of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, not that bad things has to happen, but sometimes
they have to exist.
They have to exist for like any struggle or for anything
to grow.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. And also we're an eternal soul that gets rebirth, everything. Mm. Like I've been telling this in the past podcast. So a podcast listener would probably know, like the audience probably knows about me saying that, like, yeah, this is just another incarnation of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I have I'm just unlocking all the past lives, that all the lessons I've learned in my past life, and now I'm just being awakened to it. I'm like, oh, okay.
You know, when you said that to me, I'm like, it kind of helped, like, now whenever I'm afraid of like, I think of it a little bit more now. I'm like, you know what? Why am I afraid of this? I've probably done this, like, a million times, and it was okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably do this, like, a million times after. Like, yeah. It'll be fine.
I've been trying to, like, get my meditation to be more spiritual. Actually, that's what I'm, like, kind of frustrated with my headspace. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love it, but I wish it was more, like, spiritual in some way, where I'm, like, connected more. It's very grounded, which is good, but also I want something more.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think it's kind of came back to, like, you were kind of frustrated with that one type of yoga. Mm-hmm. You want to try something else. I'm like, maybe I need to go to India and go around. Honestly, I really want to go to, like a maybe a Buddhist retreat of just, like, monks. Dude. Like,
there are retreats like that. Or not necessarily, do they call them retreats?
I don't know what they're called.
I forget what they're called, too, because when I was looking for a yoga school, it was very overwhelming because there's so many different options out there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ashrams that you can attend where you pay a donation and you basically participate in
these. Wait, it's a donation?
Well, the ones I looked in into, it's like donation based, but there's like a range of like donation that you can give. But it allows you to kind of live like a monk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you'll join them for prayer and you'll also like participate in responsibilities for the temple, and there's a yoga practice and with the asanas and you know, meditation, all that. But it seemed really intense. I'm like, oh, this is not what I'm this is not what I'm looking for. Yeah, so yeah, there's options out there.
That sounds
for sure.
Fun.
Did your family like ask you like, what are you doing?
Yeah, why are you going to India?
Or were they just like, just do you?
No, my mom's Mexican and she definitely has her, you know, opinion about yoga, but she's grown to understand that this is what I do and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, so she doesn't question it anymore. But in the beginning when I started, she's like, ¿Por qué estás haciendo eso? Like, why are you doing that?
Uh-huh.
Like, what is that for? I don't understand. Just go to church. Cause she's very religious.
Yeah.
It's like, just read the Bible, pray, like what?
Uh-huh.
You're anxious? What? You're depressed? Oh, no, you got to read. You know, like that was her approach about things.
Mm.
And but now she understands like, okay, this is like Janelle loves this. This is a passion of hers.
Mm.
And my dad, he always like perceived it as more of like a workout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's like, oh, she's just getting her work on, you know. So when I told them I was going to go to India, they were worried. They were
Yeah.
They were super worried.
I think my mom would be too, yeah.
Yeah, my mom's like, estás loca? Like, what? Like, who do you know over there? You know, like, what if something happens? Like, have you watched? Because, you know, the TV shows, movies, and media tend to portray it as something very negative and scary and stuff. And, I mean, there's scary parts about it. But just like anywhere else here, I mean, there's scary parts here in America, too. Like, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. They were just worried for my well-being, like that I was gonna get abducted and I don't know.
No, my my mom says that all the time when I go when we go back to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
She would always say, "Oh, you're gonna get kidnapped, and they're gonna know you don't speak like Tagalog, and they're gonna sell you. Like, there's gonna be a ransom for you.
Oh my god,
because you're like American." And I'm like, "Of course." I would like I would have my camera out, and then she was worried that someone's just gonna snatch it.
Snatch.
So I'm like. These are like our own people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why are you so suspicious of them? Well, I mean, I am kind of suspicious, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah, and I couldn't allow, like, I was scared. Not gonna lie, like when.
Oh yeah.
Because you're going by yourself.
Yeah, I went by myself. Yeah, didn't know anybody. Yourself.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I knew that I could do it because I have other friends who've gone. I'm like, if they can do it, I can do it
too.
Yeah.
How
you
did
know?
You navigate through?
So
through India, like alone. That's like.
Well. There in India, the majority of the people speak English.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
They learn English in school. So that was easy. I was able to.
Thank you, British people.
Yeah.
Colonization.
Colonization, sure. But at least somebody.
Right.
They,
they benefited for sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
No, but so I have no trouble communicating with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was easy. And I literally just followed the instructions because they sent me. The school was really good about preparing me. Like, this is where you're going to go. This is somebody's going to pick you up at the airport. And so it was cool. It worked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But I was scared. I was scared because I didn't know what the heck I was getting
myself
getting
into. Yourself into it? You just felt like you had to do it?
I just wanted to go. I'm like, I want to become a yoga teacher. I want to go to the motherland of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I did it. So, crazy. But that's, I was, dope. And the thing is, like, before, like, when I was preparing, I had already bought, like, my ticket in advance, like, 3 months before. Mm-hmm. I had already put down my deposit for the school, so I knew, like, way beforehand,
yeah,
that I was gonna go. But as, like, you know, it got closer to the date, I started doubting myself. I'm like, I don't think I can do this. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And it's also, like, what I was hearing from people, because I had a huge amount of support from, like, wow, I'm glad you're doing this, you're following your dreams, and, like, super supportive. Even, like, my job, like, yes, Jenna, like, I'm glad. Mm-hmm. And then there's people's like, what, are you sure, like, aren't you scared? So I got both. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the fear definitely, like, set in towards, like, closer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When the date was coming. And but I had to just, like, I acknowledged that I was, you know, feeling a certain way, but I'm like, I'm just gonna do it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Yeah. Like, I can't live my life like this.
Yeah.
And
here you
but
are.
Yeah, no. But even, like, when I arrived that first night, uh-huh. I was like, I cried. I'm
really?
Like, what the fuck? It was because I arrived really late, and I don't even remember the time anymore, but it was late. Like, people should have been asleep already.
Uh-huh.
But they, where my accommodation was, or, like, my living space, it was, like, connected to, like, this restaurant / like, hotel. So there were a lot of men, like, hanging out,
mm-hmm.
you know, around, like, my room, and they were just, like, having yeah. a good time, like, drinking and stuff. And then, like, even when I walked into my space where I was staying at, just for that first day,
mm-hmm.
It was just, like, dirty. And I remember going into the restroom, and there was, like, a bunch of, like, black mold on there. I'm like, is this where I'm staying for a whole month? And then, like, I looked over to the bed, and it looked like they hadn't changed the comforter, because it has a different, like, hairs, like, red hair, curly hair. I'm like, that's not my hair, like, you know. And I brought a sheet, because my friends had warned me, like, it's not, like, when you think of hygiene, like, it's different there.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, the yeah. things are not regulated, like, yeah. they are here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's kind of the same thing in the Philippines, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I understand.
Right? So I brought an extra pillowcase. I brought, like, a bed sheet. I laid it out, and I curled myself into a fetal position. I cried. Like, I should have just done the training at home in California, where it's clean and it's quiet, and yeah. there's not a bunch of weird men. Like, you know, uh-huh. I was just having, like, for sure, a culture shock.
Yeah, I think you were having a culture shock.
Yeah. And I remember yeah. my sister calling me, too, before I fell asleep. And she's like, how is it? I'm like, it's cool. And she's like, no, it's not. It's like, no, it's not. It's like, dude, just talk to them tomorrow morning. Let them know. And
yeah.
that's what I did. And they changed me rooms, and things yeah. got better, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah. I did cry the first night I arrived.
I mean, this reminds me of, I don't know if I ever told the story on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Because when I went to the Philippines in 2015, my mom was like, oh, we should go to Japan. And I was like, I've always wanted to go to Japan. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And then we drove to, like, the airport. And, but she didn't tell me that she wasn't going. And I'm like, wait, you're not going? So mm-hmm. it's just me. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess.
And how old were you?
I was like, no, I'm like 21, 20.
Oh, 20.
I was already pretty old.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, 2015. So.
Okay.
3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, this is gonna be awesome, just me in Tokyo mm-hmm. for 5 days. This is gonna be awesome. But then as soon as I landed, well, it didn't hit me until I landed. Like, I was like, oh, welcome to Tokyo. And I was like, I cannot speak the language. I'm mm-hmm. all alone here. Mm-hmm. I was like freaking out in the airport. I was like, fuck, I don't know anybody. I don't know how to speak the language. I don't know how to get to my hotel. It was weird. Also, I didn't have my credit card on me, and they only accept. So there's no Wi-Fi there. There's mm-hmm. not, like, free Wi-Fi everywhere. And I researched it, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get one of those Wi-Fi, portable Wi-Fi things.
Mm-hmm.
But that I couldn't get that because I didn't have a credit card on me. So I was like, fuck. So I'm in a foreign country, no internet, can't speak the language, mm-hmm. don't know anybody. So I'm like, fuck. So I, like, kind of fumbled my way around through the airport, and I made it onto the train,
mm-hmm.
but I got off at the wrong stop, so I was, like, in fucking rural Japan. I was like, how the I'm like in an anime
rice
or
fields
something.
And everything.
Yeah, I was like, well, yeah, it's pretty much that. It was like, you know those cricket sounds, like,
oh.
I was like, have you ever seen anime? But, like,
no, yeah,
you know those, like, those sounds. Right, I was now. Like, I'm in Japan,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
And it took me, like, what was supposed to be, like, an hour train ride, mm-hmm. took me, like, 3 hours because I kept getting off the wrong start. And I was just so frustrated.
And you couldn't find anybody who spoke English?
I found some Brazilians who spoke English, but I couldn't, like, tag along with them.
Yeah.
They were, like, going somewhere else.
They're, like, bye, figure it out.
But I made it. But But it was very isolating because nobody spoke English. Mm-hmm. They spoke like kind of broken English because they didn't really teach English there.
No, they didn't.
They know how to read English, but they don't know how to speak English. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. And there was one time I felt so isolated because that was like the longest time I've never like talked to anybody. Like literally for like a whole week. Mm-hmm. There's people around you, but you cannot communicate to them. Mm-hmm. It was so isolating. Mm-hmm. I like went in my hotel room and I just cried. And I'm like, this sucks.
So this is a common thing.
I know. It's just crying out.
Out.
But then afterwards, I was like, wait, I'm in Japan, Tokyo. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Then I kind of got over it.
Yeah.
But it was very isolating. There's like a part where it's just super isolating being in a new place, not knowing anybody, not knowing how to speak the language, and just not connecting.
Yeah. You know, even though I have anxiety, like, that's the one thing that I can do. Like, I'll just be like, I want to go here, and I'll just like go by myself. And I won't, like, think about it twice. And I'm like, maybe I should have thought about that twice. Like, I shouldn't just be going up and about. But I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to just go and do it.
Yeah.
I think, like, I think of, like, my mom. Like, she didn't get to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't get to travel. And, like, even now she just works. Because, obviously, like, coming to this country, like, she had to work. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think I'm, like, living what she didn't get to live. Like, I should enjoy what, like, she didn't get to enjoy, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it comes from me. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I resonate with that.
Yeah.
Because even though there was a lot of fear, you know, going to this place, I did think about, like, my mom and even my dad. Because, like, till this day, they're still very hardworking people.
Mm-hmm.
My dad grew up really poor in Mississippi. My mom grew up really poor in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they sacrificed so much for my sister and I to have the type of lifestyle we have now, you know? And I'm like, there's no way I'm not going. Because, like, this is the reason why they're here. This is the reason why my ancestors fought, you know?
Yeah.
For their freedom. So I'm able to do things like
this. Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, why do I have to, like, limit myself?
Yeah.
When other people are doing it, shoot.
Yeah. I was on, I think it was Monday. I was talking to him. And I was, like, really stressed and just, like, frustrated. And when I went to therapy, I'm like, I was surprised by how frustrated and angry I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I don't have, like, a map, like, where I'm at now, like, the things that I'm, like, experiencing, like, if it's mental health or, like, this is stress or even, like, going to college and I have no one to ask for help. I'm, like, I don't have, like, somebody that, like, I can just, like, ask for help. And then I was, like, today I'm, like, that was, like, a pity party because I'm, like, the fact that I'm even in this position is, like, amazing. Like, I'm privileged that, like, looking at my mom, all the things that she did sacrifice and all the things that she continues to work for. And then looking back, like, continuing to look behind generations, I'm, like, I might not have, like, that roadmap. Like, obviously, I'm struggling because, no, like, there isn't anybody that I can look for, like, ahead of me. But I'm, like, I am that person, you know? Like, when I have children or I have grandchildren or even, like, extended family, like, they're going to look back and they're going to be, like, oh, like, she paved this way for me. Like, somebody paved the road to me for me to even come to college, for me to even... like, be able to travel, to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I had a pity party, and now I, like, checked myself. I'm, like, I'm actually really privileged, and I just don't realize it. And it might not look like how other people look. Like, I think we compare ourselves to, like, the mainstream culture. Like,
sure.
My mom's, like, los gabachos.
Yeah.
And it's, like, yeah, I don't have those things because it's going to take time to get there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had to, like, check myself. I'm privileged.
Yeah.
And we're all, like, kind of paving that way, I think. Like,
yeah.
Talking about, like, that we're sad sometimes. Like, you said that your mom didn't understand that you had anxiety or depression?
Yeah, she didn't understand that.
Do they understand that now, like,
they
a little
do,
bit of that?
Because of the conversations we've had and stuff. But in the beginning, when even I was trying to understand, like, why I felt the way, you know? Mm-hmm. All these different things and getting deeper into mental health, I didn't understand either. So but now that we've had these conversations, you know, and my mom will say things, well, pues yo no sabía, like, I didn't know. I'm like, it's okay, like, I didn't know either.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. We're learning.
Yeah,
so, like, you did your best with the knowledge and support you had at that time. And
see, that's the, like, mentality I'm having now, like, looking back and being like, this is why I'm kind of this way, but understanding that, like, they did the best. Like, reconciliation.
Yeah,
that's my theme for this year, reconciling things. Yeah,
I like that.
Did you ever go to therapy? Or?
So I recently just started going to therapy.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, it was always something. Thank you. Thank you. It was definitely a major step. It was always something that I would bring up. Like, I want to go to therapy. I think I should. But for whatever reason, like, I just never made that step. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because as a nurse, I connect with other people and I link them to, you know, mental health. So I'm like, how am I out here like telling other people,
you know what you're selling.
Yeah. And like, I'm not practicing what I preach. Yeah. You know?
It's like, what am I getting them into?
Right. So recently I did just start seeing a therapist or a counselor. Mm-hmm. And she's freaking amazing. So she's Mexican American, and I feel like we're able to connect.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's a woman too, and so it's really cool. She's a part of that toolbox that I'm creating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. I like how you say that because like, it's very much like how mental health or just professionals describe it. It's just a toolbox.
Yeah.
They're tools. They're not meant to cure you.
No.
Or like be the end all be all mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. They're just tools.
Yeah.
Just like this podcast is a tool.
For sure.
don't come to this for a cure.
No.
This is just a tool in your toolbox.
How did your first session go?
I cried, girl. I walked in like, like, you ready for this? Because I'm a hot mess. Like, where's the tissues at?
That's usually how it starts. Always the first session is just crying.
But I just let it out. And, you know, like, it was beautiful. And she's just like, allowed me to, you know, feel that. And she sat there and she listened to me. And things have definitely shifted, you know, now that I'm seeing her regularly. So it's just interesting to like reflect back and see where I started and now where I'm at now. So because I have people in my life who are supportive and I can lean, you know, too, whenever I'm feeling or I'm going through things. But even then, like, I have to be aware of their space and if they have the capacity to, you know, listen to me and all that. And the person that I'm thinking about specifically is my sister. She's my roommate, she's my best friend, like, we're very close. But I mean, there's And I ask her, very mindful now. I'm like, dude, do you have a moment? Like, do you have the capacity for me to talk to you about like something that's heavy?
That's very, like, very good of you to do.
No, yeah. And it's just something that I learned for my job as a nurse, too, you know? Because I feel, as boundaries. A nurse, like, where boundaries, yes, these boundaries, healthy boundaries, exactly. Like, people go around vomiting their stuff on, like, not actual vomit.
No,
like,
I know what you mean.
But just emotional, like, their trauma vomit and all this. And then you leave and you're like covered in it. I was like, oh, this does not feel good. So I'm like, you know.
Yeah, and it's not serving them either because I'm like, I am not listening to
you
this.
You kind of like shut down.
Yeah, because I can't take this in right now. Like, I can't absorb this.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, it's very unconsensual that you just dump this emotional baggage onto me.
It's like, what
me.
Do I do with it?
Like, yeah, I was like, what do I do with it?
Put it under this rug? Because I'm not, you know, so it's just, so I, because of that, because of my experience at work, I've been able to apply these different skills and, you know, approaches as far as like when I'm sharing experiences. So anyways, it's really good to have like that support system because I also have a group of friends that I can talk to and like, you know, trust, but then I have my counselor and then I have yoga. And so it's good.
You're set up.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're prepared for anything.
That's really like important. Like what you said about like asking people if you have that space.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like people sometimes just bring
dump it.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know, like, I think I haven't like had a strong enough boundary within myself to be like, no, cause you obviously like want to be there for people you care.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're limited. Like, right now, I'm realizing, like, I'm very limited in what I can give.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I have much to give. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very much, like, I need to be there for myself.
Yeah.
Like, fully. And I think that's the part of me being exhausted and having anxiety. I'm like, oh, it's because I'm, like, trying to do all this and all that. And I just, like, it's not fair to me or to people because I'm not really there fully.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta say, I can't do.
But I don't think
right
I've learned how to. I think it's like the culture too about being Mexican. I don't know. You don't know how to say no. You just kind of do everything.
You just do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta say like, I can't listen to this right now. Like, I can't be here with you right now.
Yeah.
Because I have to deal with my own stuff.
It's definitely something you have to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's definitely taken time for me to actually apply in my life, building those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which reminds me is that you have to tell somebody that they violated a boundary for them to know where the boundaries are.
Mm-hmm. Or else boundaries you're just angry and you're not.
Yeah, you're just.
Yeah, you're just. You're left
just
angry.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
but it's like you didn't tell people.
Yeah, because boundaries are pretty much made up. I mean, obviously they're made up. You have to set them for them to be real.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, people don't know where it is, so you have to. Sometimes you have to make mistakes, like safe mistakes. That's what I don't know where I'm getting this. I think it's from the book Boundaries that I read. It's like, how am I remembering this? It's like from the ether of like things I've listened to. Yeah, which was like 3 months ago. But yeah, you have to like let them make safe mistakes instead of the big mistakes that really will just ruin a relationship. So
for sure,
you got to stop them. So you got to make that boundary clear, because you don't want your boundaries to be like iron walls that never moves. Mm-hmm. But also you don't want it to be not there. Mm-hmm. So it has to be like, I think the metaphor that they gave me was, it's a fence with a gate.
I like that.
You let some things in and then, oh,
can't get lock in. It back up.
That can't get in right now.
Yeah.
You have to be the, what's that? What's that thing in the club?
Bouncer?
A bouncer. A bouncer for people's actions. Like
a bouncer for emotions.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's too many dudes in there already.
Oh my God.
You can't go in.
No. So how did you get into nursing? Because that's your main thing, right?
Yeah.
Your main profession.
Yeah. So I went into Fresno State thinking that I wanted to become a physical therapist, and then that quickly changed.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really into working out and being like physically active and stuff. So I appreciated the body for a long time. And so I still wanted to do something with the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed something also that I could just like easily dive into.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the prereqs for physical therapy were the same for nursing. So I'm like, this is easy.
Yeah.
And then people would always tell me like, with nursing, you can always like go into different fields. So I like the, you know, the different options that were available. So I just went for it. And to be honest, when I did the first semester of nursing program at Fresno State, I hated it. Yeah. I'm like, what am I doing? This is not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It was not good for me.
Yeah.
And so I really started questioning it, and like, I don't know if I'm in the right field. And but it wasn't, because in nursing you do clinical rotations, and a couple of the rotations I really like fell in love with. So one of them was mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, whoa, I can really get into this, because like we got into psychology and all that. I'm like, whoa, yeah, this is definitely one. And then the second one was labor and delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, because I love women and then I love babies, and it was just like very beautiful. And then I did my rotation with my preceptor nurse, Erica Alexander. She's a public health nurse. And that was just like, whoa, this is where I'm going. Because she, at the time, she was the coordinator for a program that I work for now, which is the Black Infant Health Program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to witness a different side of nursing, where we're allowed to build these connections with people in the community and have a better understanding of why they tick from a psychosocial standpoint. And I'm like, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing as a nurse.
And that is currently what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so you said there's two main ones that you are involved
so
in, right?
So Black Infant Health Program. And then I also do home visitation services for a program called Babies First. And both of these programs are maternal infant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the community that I serve.
Mm-hmm. You're a busy gal.
Yeah.
I am really busy. Yeah. So it's a really good balance to have yoga. Because I'm teaching, I'm also like facilitating healing with the people who attend my classes. But I also get to practice and, do the breathing exercises and move through these flows. And so it helps me as much as it helps the students.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good balance because nursing...
Yeah,
my parents can be draining.
Yeah, my parents are nurses.
Oh, they are. Okay, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they wanted me to be a nurse.
Yeah,
I was like,
I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Even though now I kind of regret it, because I'm like, man, nurses make big money.
I
kind of
want to go into it.
Yeah, they do.
I think like once I'm like settled, like once my like spirit is settled, and like I don't want to, because right now I'm like, I want to try this and I want to do this.
Yeah.
And journalism is that, because you can like travel, you can learn about all these different things. But I think eventually, like, I'm going to go into, like, something related to the medical field.
My therapist was like, you should get a master's in counseling or something.
In counseling. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about life, is you can make it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of people probably just like, oh, I'm 20 or 20-something. I'm like, I got to get my stuff in check.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned from people we've talked to, it's like, it's never done. It's like, you could be 40 and just change everything.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm very excited to be an old person.
Yeah. I am too. I
can't wait until I'm 70, honestly.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I'll just be like in my garden, gardening, minding my own business.
I'll be like,
I would love to do that too.
I'd be like, I've already lived this life.
I want to live to 100.
That's a long time.
We could probably make it.
I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do yoga still. So yeah. That's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, I want to be one of those old people that are kind of like buff. Yoga. And like, it's
oh my God.
I'm like, oh, I can, yeah. I was, dude, there's
things. No, I've seen them.
And I'm like, wow, they look pretty good. I'm like, I have my whole life to get to that.
Yeah, you do.
So I don't have, I have like.
Don't rush it.
I have like 80 something years.
Yeah, don't rush
it. I think we can make it to 100. I think the technology.
I don't want to be 100. I don't want to be. That's too long. No. My joints are going to hurt.
No. But you could, what if you're like one of those, you're like a healthy old person.
No, I don't want to live that long because then think of all the people that are going to die. That you're going
to
see die.
That's true. I didn't think about that. But
yeah. But I think I'm going to be too old to not even. Like I'll know like. It's like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be like old, like, but not lose my memory. Like, I don't know. Because I work with dementia patients.
Oh, my.
And they live really long. That's one they of were my, like 96. And I'm like, that's you're one just of my suffering biggest fears. At this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to get to that.
That's one of my biggest fears is to get like Alzheimer's or dementia. Yeah. And forget my whole life, which is like, isn't that the whole point of living? Is to remember all that stuff? Mm-hmm. Even though there's some things I don't even remember from like a couple years ago. I'm like, oh, did I do that? I'm sorry. Yeah. But wait, I was going to say something with that thought about like everyone dying.
Oh, because no. And when I took care of them and like because I work with dementia, like some of them have lost their children already. Mm. And I'm like, you I can't remember. Imagine being a mother and out like outliving your children. Mm-hmm. And like all the. Yeah, I was like, that's really painful.
I was talking to my therapist about that. It's because my therapist, because I've been in a good mood lately and I'm like, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But. I'm like,
isn't that interesting how that happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets a little scary.
Like, what's going on? Like, why do I feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, huh, this is weird. And usually, once I'm in a good mood, it usually follows something very challenging or something bad. But I think one of the things that I know there's going to be challenges in my life. And one challenge that I haven't really faced, I don't know if I talked this in the past podcast, but it was about grief.
Mm-hmm.
Of someone passing away because I still haven't had that experience and eventually and my therapist explains to me like eventually you will need to and I'm still kind of like waiting because like yeah that when you said like oh yeah you're just people are just gonna pass away and I'm like I still haven't gone through that and I don't know how I don't know when that'll when I'll go through that or how.
So you haven't had like any family members or friends who
I mean away? I've had my grandma passed away like a couple of years like 2014 but she lived in the Philippines and she passed away so I was so far removed from that death. I visited her grave but it really never clicked
because you guys didn't have a relationship like that.
We did but like we just never like talked to each other that much because she was in the Philippines, she was chilling and I thought I was gonna see her again but so yeah it hasn't really hit me. So in my mind she's still in the Philippines chilling out just like she's just there. And I think that might be forever my idea of her. Maybe I don't want to. Maybe I'm like better thinking that. But I think there still be because like the next oldest person I know is like my grandpa, which I saw just a couple of years ago, and I'm scared for that. That might be the next one, but it's eventual, you know, like that. All that thing, all those things happen. But how am I gonna deal with that? And I'm predicting that might be the next challenge. Or my dog dies because my dogs haven't died yet, so I'm like, they're pretty old.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like, okay, let's practice with the dog first.
Just be like, oh my God.
Like, how do we? Oh, well, that's how what pets are for. That's teaching.
Practice.
That teaches. Okay.
Practice to raise a child. Practice.
That's
grieving.
Probably.
That's the child. You know, when kids have pets and then when their pets die, that's like their first like interaction with death. Because
that's the only reason we have pets. That's the truth. We just found out.
I've never had that exercise because I never had a pet. And this is the longest. Well, this is the only time I've had a pet. And she's like 10 years old. And she's like an American bulldog. She's like thick and lazy. And I'm like, when is this going to happen?
But you know what you said about like there's always good followed by bad? Or that's like your perception of it?
Or there's bad following good or something.
Yeah. It makes me like think of like. My therapist told me it was like, you're so like, you're normal, your default is like being depressed or being in the sadness. So when you come out of it, it feels unnatural and like you want to go back to that. I think that's kind of a little bit of it.
Oh,
like,
no.
You feel good.
No, but I reframed it. I think I said this in the last guest episode where it's like, I reframed it where it's like, it's not that something bad is going to happen. It's that something challenging will going to happen, but I'll be okay either way. I just need to deal with this new challenging thing. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's that reminds me of just the analogy of, you know, when we're experiencing good times in life, it's mm-hmm. seen as a peak, right? A huge a wave, and we're mm-hmm. just riding in, like mm-hmm. having all this thrill from it, and then it has to come down, right? That wave has to crash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to experience those times of those valleys, and
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Right? And I'm looking at like nature, and it's like things die and get reborn. And
yeah, it's a time to like just reset and allow yourself to be sad and just rest, because that's mm-hmm. what I know. The times where I've had periods where I'm just like really low,
yeah.
All I want to do is just like rest. Mm-hmm. So I allow my body just to do that. Mm-hmm. When before, it was like a really big issue, and I would want to like get rid of these like bad feelings. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to feel alone. But it's like, it's a part of me as much as like happiness, mm-hmm. joy, all these other positive feelings are for me. Also these bad feelings, and like, why do they even have to be bad? Like, mm-hmm. so I'm still learning how to hold them softer mm-hmm. versus like shutting the door and slamming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it closed.
Yeah.
So, cause it's a part of me.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It goes back to Hinduism. What they taught me is like, oh yeah, you just need to not be attached to any outcome that you want, good or bad, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But don't be like so attached to either one of those.
I think because we like, don't talk about like the negative, well, we perceive it as negative, like unpleasant feelings, like we just haven't. We, when it comes, we're like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
But I think it is normal to grieve, to feel sad.
I always wonder, mm-hmm. this is one of my hashtag deep thoughts.
Oh my
God. Like, man, do trees feel pain when they like die? Like, you know, when they like, their leaves fall off?
I went to our workshop recently, and it was, oh man, I'm forgetting his name, because he's a professor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mm-hmm. like Dr. Yellowbird or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke about trees being able to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
So certain trees, you've heard about this?
I've heard about that. Like trees actually kind of communicate.
Yeah. So when like they know that they're dying, or like something bad's going to happen, they're able to. So I do truly do believe that they do.
Yeah, you know that grass, like that smell of freshly cut grass?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's actually grass like crying out.
Oh my God.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they release that like chemical to be like, please don't do that. Or like it's supposed to like...
It messes up my sinuses, so...
It's supposed to like...
it really does.
For the bugs that like cut it off, it's supposed to like deter them away. So that's the smell.
Oh.
So that's them. That's their way of communicating, like, don't cut
Stop.
Me.
Don't You're cut hurting me.
But yeah, so that freshly cut grass smell... That's them crying out.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I don't know. I was just like, man, do trees feel pain when they like just die in the winter? I mean, they're not really dead. They just kind of
they just
wither.
Yeah. So since you've been like an instructor, have you changed? Like or
I haven't thought about that.
No?
I don't feel like I've changed.
No?
Yeah, no. If anything.
How about from the beginning of your journey to now?
There's definitely like a shift as far as like my self-confidence, mm-hmm. right? My self-esteem, knowing that I can do it. Because mm-hmm. in the beginning, oh my gosh, going back to the anxiety, I would like the night before, if I knew I was going to teach, I would get really excited. I'm like, I'm going to teach. And I get really like pumped up. And then the morning of, I was like, oh, I'm actually going to teach in front of people. And that fear will settle in. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, why am I even doing this? Like all those like automatic negative thoughts will come into my mm-hmm. mind telling me like,
yeah,
you're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like people think you suck. Your playlist isn't good. Like everything will come into my mind, but I had to just really trust myself. Like I have to, I would pep talk myself. Like I have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, maybe in the beginning it's going to be a little bit rough, but this is how you start off. And I just need to continue practicing teaching. And eventually, like, I'm going to come to a space where I feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I still get really excited before classes. And, you know, and that's why I open up with a breathing exercise. I'm like, okay, let's settle
center
here. And like, yeah, center and like calm down a little bit. So, there has definitely been a shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just because I've been given the privilege of teaching more frequently mm-hmm. now that Tower Yoga. That's mm-hmm. the other studio. So I work for two studios. I work for Blue Moon and I work for Tower Yoga in the Tower District.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm teaching more frequently. I teach about 5 classes per week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah. And because of this, I've been able to practice my teaching skills. And
what do you try to bring like to your classes?
I always try to bring an intention. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we practicing today? you know? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of you being here? Mm-hmm. So trying to, you know, connect the students with spirituality and not just approach yoga as like a workout. And if that's your intention, like, I just want to get abs, and that's cool too. Because that's where I started, you know, and that's fine too. Because it's positive. Like, I'd rather have people do this versus like
but not do it.
Yeah, then cope. I mean, if yoga's not your thing, then that's cool. But I mean, there's other ways that people cope, and they tend, sometimes they're negative, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a positive way. So at the end of the day, they also receive the same benefits. But it's just setting an intention. That's what I try to focus on, for sure. Those so, and cool. then I also remind them, like, even if you can't do the entire hour of class, just remain present here. Like, practice on being present here with your body, present with your mind, but most importantly, with your breath. Mm-hmm. So if that's the only thing that you did during the class is breathe, then you did it. You know, you did the class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I like that intention. Mm-hmm. Whenever I meditate, they always ask me, like, what's your intention with this meditation? Who is going to benefit from you doing this? And I always think, like, okay. Other people, like, most of it, I do it for other people. It's like, so I'm more good to them, not an asshole.
I hear that.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure.
Did you ever feel, like, self-conscious? Because, like I said, like, it's almost seen as, like, only white people do yoga.
Yeah. Yeah. I did, you know? And even as a teacher, you know? So as a student, when I first started, it's just intimidating knowing that you're going into a space where people are super flexible and bendy and they're not, you know? And, and this whole, the yoga scene or community, there's this little world that exists, and yoga here in America is a huge industry. So they're like, people are making billions of money, like, from all these different products and stuff, clothing and all that.
Yeah.
So it also kind of becomes like a little like fashion show, like, oh, who has the cutest outfits? And I love cute outfits.
They got
like,
outfits,
man. Well, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like the leggings and stuff like that. Ooh. Yeah. Like, I have cute stuff too, because I like cute things. Uh-huh. But I mean, that's not what it's about, obviously.
No, you should have led with that, because I've been like, oh, there's like a you can show off with your clothes there. Oh, I'm gonna come now.
No, like, people really get into it, or they feel like they need, oh, I need these crystals, and I need this yoga mat. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. You don't really need any of that, but actually you don't at all.
Yeah.
But anyways, with that said, so it was a little intimidating, but I had to, I learned that I had to just focus on myself. And that's what I love about the Bikram practice, is because where the way it's set up is that you face the mirror and you focus on yourself. So that was really uncomfortable for me, like just staring at myself for a whole 90-minute class. Yeah. In 105-degree, you know, controlled room, it was just like too intense. But I learned to just like let that soften, that fear of like really looking inside. And so then I was able to learn how to shut like my neighbors out and not compare myself. Like I literally would just zone in with myself and not like even like, oh, she can do that and he can do that, why can't I do that? So because of that discipline, I'm able to carry that into my teaching too. So I like to remind students, like, don't, like, let go of those expectations, let go of those prejudgments, like, just focus on yourself, like, honor your progress. And if you can't hit those full splits, like, I'm there with you too. And let's just like honor our body, what we're able to do, like the capacity of certain poses. And that's it, because this is where we're here for ourselves, not to like compare. But it's hard, especially in today's world, right? Especially like social media, that's all we really do is like compare and all that. So
That sounds like good advice, like, don't compare yourself to other people. Or just like, you're just here for yourself,
and it's a practice too, right? Because it doesn't come natural. So and so now as a teacher, when I transition into this role, it was really intimidating as a Black woman, right? And because a lot of the spaces where I've taught, it's diverse, but I tend to be always the only Black woman, right? But at Tower Yoga, we definitely have other teachers who are Black, and that's beautiful. But when I stepped into this role, a lot of things did come up, and it made me question. I'm like, I never, obviously as a student, I never had to think about things like this. But yeah, like, cause like I said in the beginning, yoga is perceived as a luxury. So mm-hmm. people who have the money mm-hmm. obviously have access to this
yeah.
type of world. And so a majority of the students who attend a lot of the yoga classes are white,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
white folks. So it did make me kind of feel like uncomfortable, because then I feel like they were like questioning me or like mm-hmm. my ability as a student. Yeah. And, you know, like, because I'm like front stage now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but that's kind of that has definitely melted away. Now I don't, not to say like, sometimes I still have thoughts in my mind, but mm-hmm. I don't allow it to like control
mm-hmm.
how I'm going yeah. to like come in, like the type of energy I deliver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
because I was really curious about that, because when I first started yoga, like I said, I came here in Fresno, and mm-hmm. the space was like, it was a lady and she spoke Spanish. Like, it was just a room full of Mexican ladies.
This was in Fresno?
Yeah. The Holistic Cultural Center is great. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So the whole class is just Mexican, like Mexican ladies in their 40s. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel really comfortable doing this. And now that I'm in Long Beach, I'm like, oh, the teachers are all white. The students are mainly white. And I'm like, I didn't realize, like, I don't feel like I belong here. Like, I feel like this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just because of the environment I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I, like, was curious about that, because I think, like, even being in this country sometimes, like, when you're a person of color, you go into spaces and you feel like you're not allowed to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, like, an unspoken thing. You're like, I don't belong here. And it's, like, where does that thought even come from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as a student, too, there's, you know, because wherever I go, I always, like, look for people that look like me. I'm like, where are you at? Like, where are you guys hiding? Like,
yeah.
Why aren't there more of me here, you know? So yeah. that's how I, you know, going into this space, to these classes, I would always look for somebody. And I would get really excited, like, if somebody would come in for the first time and they were black, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's another mm. black woman, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hope she stays. And then she would, like, not come back, like, after, aww. Like, a week. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, along the way, though, I've met other yogis who are also, you know, Mexican and black. And it's just beautiful to see the diversity. But still, at the studios where I practice and teach, mm-hmm. the majority are white folks.
Yeah.
So, but it's beautiful, like, at this center that you were talking about. Devoya, you know Devoya?
Yeah. She's actually going to be a guest.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Devoya Mayo, she is a cultural broker and for African Americans. And she has linked with Dana. I forget her last name. I want to say it's Dana Clark. And they offer soul yoga once a month at the Holistic Cultural and
Wellness Center.
Wellness Center. I always like.
It's a long name.
It's a long name. Yeah. But. Yeah.
All right. Do you guys want to wrap it up? We're like an hour and 30 minutes in.
Wow.
Oh, we are?
So, yeah. So, yeah, I guess we should just say our final thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you have any final thoughts, word of advice for our listeners?
I think everybody should try yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it out.
Just try it out.
Just try it out. See if it works for you. I mean, yoga, life is yoga. Yoga is life. Like, we're practicing yoga right now.
Yeah.
Or we're living yoga, whatever. And so just come and try. It's not only for white folks. It's for everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
It's a way to cope with stress. It's a way to build strength, not only physically, but also mentally, but also make that connection with your body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they could find you at, like, Blue Moon?
You can find me at Blue Moon. Yeah, Blue Moon. Just Google it, Blue Moon Yoga Fresno or Tower Yoga here in Fresno,
mm-hmm.
and their website has all the, you know, the different classes that they offer, different mm-hmm. instructors.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely will go now.
You have to.
I have to
try
now.
It.
Yeah.
Just try it.
You'll be an instructor.
Yeah.
Make that your goal.
So I could go to India.
Yeah.
And be like, yes, I've been. Nah, I want to go to the Buddha temples.
Mm.
I'll be a Buddhist next time you see me instead of a Hindu.
Believe it.
But yeah, thank you for being on.
Yeah.
Boys.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
Like, we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Like,
do you have any other parting advice not yoga related? Maybe like something you need to hear that like future Janelle will listen to this and be like, I needed to hear that.
I think for sure continue practicing self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that self-care is the highest form of self-love.
Mm.
So you need to take care of yourself before you're able to take care of others.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You have anything else to say?
No, I have nothing to say.
Okay. Well, that's been another episode of Boys Do Cry. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye. Love you.
Bye.
live so bad you wanna die. Ever cried and cried until you can't cry. Like, why am I alive?
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Boys Do Cry.
If you would like to support us so we can pay our therapy copay, you can. You can go on Anchor. You can follow this link, bit.ly/supporttheboys.
For as little as 99 cents, you can support the pod. We appreciate you for taking the time to listen to us.
You could also support the podcast by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. Please rate us 5-star, give us a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Facebook. Our Instagram and Twitter is Boys Do Cry Pod. Follow us so we can become influencers and get free stuff.
And we would like to thank Food for Thought, aka Jalen, from the Music Collective's So Self-Explanatory and Hopeless Hit Happy. Our theme song is called What's the Purpose?
And remember, Maya Angelou is always right.